Oliver asks for more. Orphaned from childbirth, Oliver Twist spends the first 9 years of his life living in the care of a woman named Mrs. Mann. He is brought up with little food and few comforts. On his 9th birthday, Mr. Bumble, a minor church official known as the parish beadle, informs Mrs. Mann that Oliver is too old to stay at her establishment and puts him to work at the main workhouse.
Oliver, being now 9 years old, was removed from the tender mercies of Mrs. Mann, in whose wretched home not one kind word or look had ever lighted the gloom of his infant years, and was taken into the workhouse. The members of this board were very sage, deep, philosophical men, and when they came to turn their attention to the workhouse, they found out at once what ordinary folks would never have discovered. The poor people liked it. It was a regular place of public entertainment for the poorer classes, a tavern where there was nothing to pay, a public breakfast, dinner, tea and supper all the year round, a brick-and-mortar Elysium where it was all play and no work. "Ho, ho," said the board, looking very knowing. "We are the fellows to set this to rights. We'll stop it all in no time." So they established the rule that all poor people should have the alternative of being starved by a gradual process in the workhouse or by a quick one out of it. With this view, they contracted with a corn factor to supply periodically small quantities of oatmeal and issued 3 meals of thin gruel a day, with an onion twice a week and half a roll on Sundays. The room in which the boys were fed was a large stone hall with a copper at one end, out of which the master, dressed in an apron for the purpose, and assisted by one or two women, ladled the gruel at mealtimes. Of this festive composition, each boy had one porringer and no more, except on occasions of great public rejoicing, when he had 2 ounces and a quarter of bread besides. The bowls never wanted washing. The boys polished them with their spoons till they shone again, and when they had performed this operation, which never took very long, the spoons being nearly as large as the bowls, they would sit staring at the copper with such eager eyes as if they could have devoured the very bricks of which it was composed. Boys have generally excellent appetites. Oliver Twist and his companions suffered the tortures of slow starvation for 3 months. At last they got so voracious and wild with hunger that one boy, who was tall for his age and hadn't been used to that sort of thing, for his father had kept a small cookshop, hinted darkly to his companions that unless he had another basin of gruel per diem, he was afraid he might some night happen to eat the boy who slept next to him, who happened to be a weakly youth of tender age. He had a wild, hungry eye, and they implicitly believed him. A council was held. Lots were cast who should walk up to the master after supper that evening and ask for more. And it fell to Oliver Twist. The evening arrived. The boys took their places. The master, in his cook's uniform, stationed himself at the copper. His pauper assistants ranged themselves behind him. The gruel was served out, and a long grace was said over the short commons. The gruel disappeared, the boys whispered to each other and winked at Oliver, while his next neighbours nudged him. Child as he was desperate with hunger and reckless with misery. He rose from the table and, advancing to the master, basin and spoon in hand, said, somewhat alarmed at his own temerity,
"Please, sir, I want some more."
The master was a fat, healthy man, but he turned very pale. He gazed in stupefied astonishment on the small rebel for some seconds, and then clung for support to the copper. The assistants were paralysed with wonder, the boys with fear.
"What?" said the master at length in a faint voice.
"Please, sir," replied Oliver, "I want some more."
The master aimed a blow at Oliver's head with the ladle, pinioned him in his arms, and shrieked aloud for Mr. Bumble. The board were sitting in solemn conclave when Mr. Bumble rushed into the room in great excitement and, addressing a gentleman in a high chair, said, "Mr. Limbkins, I beg your pardon, sir. Oliver Twist has asked for more." There was a general start. Horror was depicted on every countenance.
"For more?" said the chairman.
"Compose yourself, Bumble, and answer me distinctly. Do I understand that he asked for more, after he had eaten the supper allotted by the dietary?"
"He did, sir," replied Bumble. That boy will be hung, said a gentleman in a white waistcoat. I know that boy will be hung. Nobody disputed the opinion. Oliver was ordered into instant confinement, and a bill was next morning pasted on the outside of the workhouse gate, offering a reward of £5 to anybody who would take Oliver Twist off their hands. In other words, £5 and Oliver Twist were offered to any man or woman who wanted an apprentice to any trade, business, or calling.